Cessna will have competition for Columbia. It's hard to avoid a TFR if the briefer loses the NOTAM. And Schumer and the DOT want airline delays solved. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, October 15th, 2007. It now looks as if the sale of the assets of bankrupt Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing will not happen as neatly as Cessna would have preferred. At least four parties have filed court actions to challenge the structure of the buyout deal Cessna created for itself with Columbia Management just before the bankruptcy was filed last month. Cirrus Design, a direct competitor, is now also confirmed to be in the bidding for Columbia. The Columbia type certificates, backed by Cessna's resources, would make life much more complicated for Cirrus. Versa Capital Management has filed a 15-page complaint that claims the terms of the bidding for Columbia, to be concluded next month, do not support a fair process, and demanding that the terms of key employees' agreements must be disclosed. The Official Unsecured Creditors Committee has complained in its filing that its members are entitled to recover as much as possible through the sale of the company's assets, and is challenging terms which would suppress bidding and depress the ultimate sale price of the debtor's assets. And finally, the Columbia Aircraft Owners Association claims in its filing that the loss in warranty and tech support and resale value for the existing fleet and the replacement cost of undelivered options could top $100 million, making it the biggest Columbia creditor of all. We're likely to hear a lot more about this story for quite a while, and ANN will keep you up to date. Last weekend's story about EAA Chapter 36's fly-in at Hagerstown, Maryland, and the 12 resulting busts of the temporary flight restriction over the Camp David presidential retreat has taken a new twist. 12 planes entered the restricted area in a period of just 3 hours. Four of them were intercepted by F-16s, and the FAA said the whole mess could have been avoided if the pilots had only checked notices to airmen before they departed, as required by law. Well, now it turns out some of them did, called flight service stations for briefings before they left, and the Lockheed Martin briefers didn't tell them about the TFR. The Federal Times reports Illinois Congressman Jerry Costello, head of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, found that pilots who called briefers were not told of the TFR because the briefers had lost the notice to airmen. Lockheed Martin had not returned calls from AeroNews by the end of the day on Friday. On Friday, U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters called for a meeting with airlines to discuss flight schedules into and out of New York's JFK Airport. Quote, "Our first choice is to find market-based incentives to fix delays so we can preserve passenger choice, but we will consider imposing scheduling restrictions as one option to avoid a repeat of this summer's delays," unquote. The meeting between the FAA and airlines serving JFK will be held October 23rd and 24th. Peter says airlines at JFK increased their scheduled operations by 41% between March 2006 and August 2007, and as a result, the number of arrival delays exceeding 1 hour increased by 114% in the first 10 months of fiscal year 2007. That's compared to the same period the previous year. Peter says that during June and July of this year, arrivals at JFK were on time only 59% of the time. New York Senator Charles Schumer, meanwhile, unveiled his plan to fix congested airspace over the region, but says the meeting among airlines should be held without the FAA, which he charges with incompetence. His plan would allow the airlines to meet to work out a plan to reduce congestion, a meeting currently forbidden by antitrust laws. The senator would also open up a large section of airspace off the East Coast, which is now reserved for military training. Quote, "The military rarely uses it. When they need it, it's fine, but the rest of the time, this alleyway should be available to commercial flights," unquote. Schumer has also called for an East Coast Air Czar to coordinate air traffic control operations in the area. The Air Transport Association, a lobbying group for the nation's airlines, immediately supported Schumer's plan. Regarding the Air Czar proposal, Association President James May said, quote, "To ensure utmost accountability, someone in this new leadership role must be empowered to make substantive adjustments to the management of our nation's airports and airspace," unquote. The National Transportation Safety Board has released new information regarding the October 7th loss of a Cessna Caravan near Yakima, Washington, with 10 people aboard. Radar data obtained by the board indicates the aircraft made a tight 360-degree turn before losing 1,400 feet in 12 seconds. The aircraft appeared to recover and stayed at 13,000 feet for three radar hits before it entered a rapid descent of 6,800 feet per minute up until the last radar contacted 8,900 feet. Investigators are said to be examining the possibility that the aircraft may have encountered icing conditions. The NTSB states initial data indicates adverse meteorological conditions were in the area of the accident site. Up next on ANN, IFALPA calls on Brazil to drop charges against two American pilots. The day has come for the first A380 delivery. And 2007 may end up a pretty good year for Airbus. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 15th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The International Federation of Airline Pilots Associations Friday called for Brazil to drop its criminal investigation into the September 2006 mid-air collision between a Gol Airlines 737 and an Embraer business jet. U.S. pilots Joseph Lepore and Jan Palladino were ferrying the Legacy 600 when it collided with a 737 over the Amazon. The smaller plane made a safe emergency landing, but all 154 people on the airliner died when it crashed in the jungle. A preliminary investigation found the Embraer was flying at 37,000 feet, a non-standard altitude for a flight with a northwest heading, but ATC transcripts indicate the controllers told the Legacy to fly 1,000 feet higher than flight plan, which put the two planes on a collision course. Gideon Ewers, spokesman for IFALPA, said Friday it's time for Brazil to own up to its internal air safety problems and stop scapegoating the two Americans. Quote, "The bottom line is they've got the cart in front of the horse on this. A federal police investigation running in parallel with the independent accident investigation risks obscuring the benefits of a proper investigation," unquote. Both U.S. and Brazilian officials agree the Legacy's transponder and the associated collision avoidance system were not functioning at the time of the accident, a situation that went unnoticed by both pilots. The NTSB issued a related series of safety recommendations for Legacy 600 pilots in May. Among them, the FAA warned Legacy pilots could accidentally place the transponder in standby mode when placing their feet on a footrest below the panel. Airbus tells ANN it will celebrate the delivery of the first A380 Super Jumbo to Singapore Airlines today. The exclusive event will be hosted by Singapore Airlines, Rolls-Royce, and Airbus, and can be watched on the internet at airbus.com. The ceremony will take place at the Airbus Delivery Center in Toulouse, France. The monster double-decker aircraft is powered by four Rolls-Royce Trent 900 engines. Tom Enders, Airbus President and Chief Executive Officer, called it a major milestone. Quote, "I would like to express my deepest appreciation to all parties concerned. I want to thank our teams and all those who worked hard, days, nights, and weekends, for their dedication and commitment," unquote. At the event, Singapore Airlines will reveal its new A380 cabin interior. The plane will arrive at Singapore's Shanghai International Airport on Wednesday, enter service between Singapore and Sydney with a special charity flight October 25th, and then normal daily service will begin between those two cities on October 28th. To date, total orders and commitments for the A380 number 189 from 16 different customers. All in all, 2007 isn't shaping up to be a bad year for Airbus, at least not as bad as originally feared. While the world's attention turned last week to Boeing's announcement of a six-month delay for the Dreamliner program, Airbus has been quietly selling planes and securing future orders. Spanish tourism and transportation company Grupo Marsans signed a memorandum of understanding with Airbus on Thursday to purchase 61 planes, including 4 A380s, 10 A350s, 5 A330s, and 42 members of the A320 family. The total value was not disclosed. Through the end of last week, Boeing lists 898 net orders for 2007. The most recent orders number available for Airbus only runs through the end of September and shows 791 for that plane maker. 2007 is also shaping up to be a great year for new pilot hires. The folks at Aviation Information Resources tell ANN over 1,360 pilots were hired in the airline industry in September. That's the largest hiring month since 9/11. That number also brings the third quarter to an end with hiring numbers totaling 3,619, almost double the 1,918 reported in the third quarter of 2006. The national carriers hired 729 pilots, the largest hiring month for that sector since 9/11. The major airlines hired 295 pilots, followed by the non-jet operators with 106. A growth in passenger volume, as well as a trend toward flying more smaller jets by the airlines, are among the factors contributing to growth in pilot openings. The next AIR Incorporated job fair will be held on November 17th at the Renaissance Concourse Hotel in Atlanta, Georgia. Attending airlines will include AirTran, American Eagle, ASA, Kalita Air, Mesa, Pinnacle, Republic, and SkyWest. Other carriers expected to attend include Colgan, Commutair, EOS, Great Lakes, and SkyBus, as well as foreign carrier Emirates and fractional operator Avantair. Still ahead, Dassault gets the 2000DX certified in the U.S. and Europe. WAI has scholarships waiting for would-be pilots. And Albuquerque's Balloon Fiesta hands out awards. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, October 15, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. Dassault Falcon tells ANN it's received approval from both the FAA and EASA for its new Falcon 2000DX. The EASA approval was awarded September 19th and the FAA approval on October 3rd. The Falcon 2000DX will replace Falcon's original Falcon 2000, which entered service in 1989. The first Falcon 2000DX is already nearing completion at Dassault's Little Rock facility and will enter service in early 2008. The aircraft has a low approach speed of 112 knots and can land with the fuel tanks nearly full, which allows it to make short hops from city to pick up passengers, then continue on long missions without refueling. For example, the 2000DX can leave New York for Washington, D.C., pick up more passengers, then continue on to San Francisco without refueling. Likewise, the plane can leave London for Paris, pick up passengers, then continue to Dubai without adding fuel. Its ability to climb directly to 41,000 feet in 17 minutes puts it quickly above the weather in smooth, fuel-efficient altitudes. Range is specified at 3,250 nautical miles. The 2000DX is powered by two Pratt & Whitney Canada PW308C engines, will come standard with Dassault's Easy Flight Deck, and a newly certified enhanced flight vision system will be available as an option. Women in Aviation International's annual scholarship opportunities now total $355,000 for 2008, But to qualify, interested individuals will have to apply by December 1st of this year. Scholarships range from a $500 academic scholarship up through a type rating valued at $35,000. In order to apply, an individual must be an active member of Women in Aviation. Membership, though, is open to both women and men. Not all scholarships are academic. Some are available for flight training, maintenance training, and engineering, as well as for WAI members who want to change careers. A complete description of each scholarship, along with instructions, useful tips, and the application form, are available online at www.wai.org. The Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta's many competitions have come to an end, and some great prizes have been awarded in the 2007 flying competition. Buzz Bernacki, flying from Placitas, New Mexico, won Thursday's pole grab in his balloon Sky Dragon, earning an elegant Parmigiani watch. David Bobel, who came to Albuquerque from Rochester, Indiana, won Friday's key grab competition in his balloon That-A-Way and captured the keys to a 2008 Honda Ridgeline truck. The overall winner of the week's competitions was Steve Lombardi of Texas. The pilot of both the Winner's Circle and Mutual Funds, Lombardi was able to beat out hundreds of other balloonists to take home a Honda Goldwing motorcycle. Sid Cutter was presented with his own plaque by the Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta. Cutter founded the Albuquerque Aerostat Ascension Association with eight of his friends and staged the first balloon rally in New Mexico along with Tom Rutherford. His contributions to Albuquerque and the sport of ballooning have earned him recognition from his peers. Gary Bennett also inducted Al Tetrault into the Ballooning Hall of Fame in recognition of his years of service to the sport. Al helped set up emergency services and procedures for Balloon Fiesta and helped to institute the Balloon Fiesta's event security, acknowledged as among the best in the country. And finally, the use of cell phones on airliners has been debated ad nauseum, and it appears that for the time being, the FAA will keep that ban in place, due more to concerns over passenger etiquette than to any legitimate technical concern. Most airlines now announce that you're free to use any electronic device in airplane mode, which disables any wireless transmitters and receivers which might theoretically interfere with aircraft navigation and communication. But apparently, for at least one flight attendant for ATA Airlines, keeping up with technology has proven insurmountable. CNET reported last week that a passenger on an ATA flight to Hawaii was told to stop watching a movie on his iPhone during the flight, even though the device was in airplane mode. The passenger was even questioned by police when the flight landed, but was not ultimately charged. The question will have to be addressed more specifically by regulators as the technology used in portable digital devices continues to advance. After all, if it's okay to watch a movie on your MP3 player, why isn't it okay to watch it on the new all-in-one phones if the phone portion is disabled? I mean, aside from the fact that the airline might have really preferred to charge you to watch one of their own movies. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in my weekly talk with CFI Bob Miller, we'll talk about one of the tougher items on your pre-flight checklist, and also about the limitations of satellite radar in the cockpit. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.